Anangana Sutta is Angana means with blemishes. Anangana means without blemishes. So blemishes are these unwholesome wishes. So this discourse appear in middle and saying, this is the fifth discourse. I heard thus, at one time the Blessed One lived in the monastery offered by Anathapindika in Jetaspuru in Savatthi. Venerable Sariputta addressed the bhikkhus, friend bhikkhus, and those bhikkhus replied, yes friend. And Venerable Sariputta said, friend, there are four persons in the world. What four? Here a certain person with blemish does not know as it really is, there is blemish in me. A person with blemish knows as it really is, there is blemish in me. A certain person without blemish does not know as it really is, there is no blemish in me. A certain person without blemish knows as it really is, there is no blemish in me. So if you take two persons, both are with blemish. One knows that I have blemish, the other one does not. The other two persons, they are without blemish, both of them. One knows that he hasn't got blemish, the other person knows that I do not have blemish. So that these blemishes, angana, they are unwholesome wishes. Of the two persons with blemish, the one who does not know as it really is, there is blemish in me, is the inferior. Then the one who knows as it really is, there is blemish in me, is the superior one. So with yathabhuta jnana, that he knows that there is this blemish in me. So that person is superior. Of the two persons without blemish, the one who does not know as it really is, there is no blemish, is the inferior one, hina puriso. The one who knows as it really is, there is no blemish in me, is the superior one. When this was said, Venerable Mahamoggallana said, friend Sariputta, what is the reason that of the two with blemish, that one should be inferior than the other superior? And of the other two without blemish, what is the reason that one should be inferior and the other superior? Here, friend Moggallana, this person with blemish, who does not know as it really is, there is blemish in me, would not arouse any interest and make effort to dispel that blemish. That vaya. So he is not putting any effort. And he has no interest, chanda, no interest to get rid of this one. So he would die with a defiled mind with greed, hate and delusion. Just like a bronze ball brought from a shop or smithy would be covered with dust and stains, its owner not partaking food in it, would not clean it, would let it lie with dust, and as time goes, that bronze ball would be much more dusty and stained. In the same way, this person with blemish, who would not know as it really is, there is blemish in me, would not arouse energy, make effort to dispel that blemish. So he would die with defiled mind, with greed, hate and delusion. So this person is not using that, let's say, a plate, bronze plate. It's sort of, it's not clean plate that he got. And then he is not using it. So, and he is not cleaning it. He is putting it somewhere to, you know, the dust accumulate in that one. So, later on you can see it got more dust. So this person will die with this lust and hatred and all those things with him, because he is not getting rid of those things. Friend, this person with blemish, who knows as it really is, there is blemish in me, would arouse in an interest and make effort to dispel that blemish. He would die with undefiled mind, without greed, hate and delusion. just like a bronze bowl bought from a shop or smithy could be covered with dust and stains, its owner, partaking food in it, would clean it, would not let it lie with dirt, and as time goes, the bronze bowl would be more and more clean. In the same manner, this person with blemish, who knows as it really is, there is blemish in me, would arouse an interest and make effort to dispel that blemish. So he would die with an undefiled mind, without greed, hate and delusion, because he is now using this thing. He got the unclean one, he is using it and he is cleaning it. Time, you know, he take food and he clean it.
But sometimes, even though you have to unclean, maybe may not be able to do that.
Yes, that's possible, because
maybe
that... Well, Venerable Sariputta set out four people, you know, that those four people are of that nature. Now, you can get another person who are trying to clean this one, but due to circumstances, he could not actually do, but he will not do in this birth. Later on, other births and so on, going to good places, and eventually he would clean it.
Yeah, and the very last paragraph of this discourse, and there are about 23 qualities that one should possess. And if I read that one, and so I took a minute whether I have any of those, but actually I don't have any. And the thing is, now what we can do is in our lifetime, we can try to get at least
few qualities.
Yes, some qualities. But what I realized was without knowing the perception of self, you cannot get at least certain level. But if you try to get that perception of self out of you, most likely you will succeed in this. Our aim is to get at least some sort of these qualities in our life.
Yeah. What you just said is actually apart from the Tayodhamma Sutta. In Tayodhamma Sutta, Buddha said that without getting rid of the virtue and duty clinging, and the view, clinging to views, that is not having right view, the identity view, having the identity view. And then the doubt, one cannot get rid of the hate, delusion and lust. So that's a condition. One need to that, get rid of these other qualities. Yeah. Friend, this person without blemish, who does not know as it really is, there is no blemish in me, attended to an agreeable sign. Greed would overcome his mind. Hate and delusion would overcome his mind. And he would die with a divine mind. So this this person attending is a subhanimitta. The agreeable objects. He is attending. Subhanimittam manasikaroti. Raga chittam anuddhammasati. Just like a bronze bowl bought from a shop or smithy, clean and pure, the owner would not partake in it, would let it lie with dirt. Then as time goes, that bronze bowl would be more and more dusty and stained in the same manner. This person without blemish, who does not know as it really is, there is no blemish in me, attending to an agreeable sign, greed would overcome his mind. Hate and delusion would overcome his mind, and he would die with a defiled mind. So he got a clean plate. This is the person without blemish. And he is not using it. So therefore he is not cleaning it. Not using it means that he is attending to this, the beautiful signs. He does not know that he hasn't got blemish in him.
He has got.
No, he hasn't got. He is without blemish. But he does not know that he hasn't got those things. But so when he actually see beautiful objects, he actually pay attention to that one. And because of that, these things get developed. Even for an arahant, who got rid of these things, they get the liberation, you know, because of the liberation, when they see certain beautiful form or something, they know that they are liberated. If you think about this Sila Sutta, and then the Venerable between Sariputta and Mahakotika, the conversation, then when they ask this question, that is there anything that Arahant should do? And then he should be attending to these things as impermanent, as a dart, and so on, right? So he doesn't have to do it, but if he do it, then you get the pleasant abiding. So whatever thing we develop, that has to be maintained until we attain Nibbana, in that essence. It is that some people, because of the lust, so much lust and sort of nature, well, when a pleasurable object is, you know, taking the eye, gratifying the eye, then it's holding it thoroughly. Certain one who has developed to a certain level is touching lightly. Then the certain ones develop to a sort of a greater knowledge, they may be touching, you know, if you actually let your mind focus on a certain thing, certain qualities will come out of that one.
That's very similar to that when somebody is rich, that person doesn't have to stay because he has enough things. But once that person don't lose things, then he starts stealing.
There has been a king who is actually stealing. It's a
king. So
friend, this person without blemish, who knows as it really is, there is no blemish in me, and that English is wrong over there, is not attending to an agreeable sign. Subhanimitta amanasikara. So they say translation is wrong. But they are not attending, it should be, it says attending to agreeable sign, is not attending to agreeable sign. Greed do not come, overcome his mind. Hate and delusion would not overcome his mind. He would die without greed, hate and delusion. He would die with an undefiled mind, just like a bronze bowl bought from a shop or smithy, clean and pure. The owner would partake in it, would clean it, and not let lie in dirt. And as time goes, that bronze bowl would be more and more clean. In the same manner, this person without blemish, who knows as it really is, there is no blemish in me, not attending to an agreeable sign, greed would not overcome his mind, hate and delusion would not overcome his mind. He would die without greed, hate and delusion. He would die with an undefiled mind. So this person is without blemish, and he knows that I am without blemish. He's not attending to an agreeable sign, not paying any attention, because he knows the condition for arising of all these bad things is this attention. If there's no attention, nothing would have happened for anyone. And so he got this beautiful clean plate, and he keep on using it. He's not letting it become dusty. Yeah, that is good. That is wise attention. Yeah, so if you have... Well, why would you pay asubha? Because you have that problem that if I don't do it, I get this problem, right? So, if you are without blemish sort of thing, then you don't have to pay that attention into that a certain person. Well, normally what a person do, he would actually look at a beautiful object and then either go with it, or another person, he look at it, he knows that this one is going to burn me, so he's actually, you know, going away from that. So in order to get out of that one, he would contemplate the asubha. Because otherwise he can't get out of this this thing.
But there should be that equanimity state too, isn't it?
Yeah, but that is by the contemplating in meditation, you mean.
No, I mean even the in the real life also.
Yeah.
And sometimes you wouldn't bother whether it is a beautiful object or not.
Right, yeah. So if you get equanimity there, whether that equanimity is pure or not is a different scenario. Because it could be a sort of equanimity as regard to if I sitting down on a chair that is neither comfortable nor uncomfortable, then I get the equanimity. That is not generalized. So we use these techniques. I have to contemplate the asubha if I am not mindful. If you are really mindful, that means you become mindful having contemplated the asubha, the foul nature of the things for a long time. Then when you see such an object, mindfulness comes to your mind. If the mindfulness is arising, then you don't have to do that much work.
Does it mean that the equanimity is there without the Dhamma knowledge? There is no effect of that at all?
Yeah, because there could be a sort of a light effect because that you don't have a lust and in the anger at that time, but there is a tendency to delusion in that thing. So because of the delusion, the other things can come back, and it's not applicable to other objects either. So friend Moggallana, this is the reason for the two persons with blemish, one to be called inferior and the other superior. For the two persons without blemish, one to be called inferior and the other superior. Friend, it is called blemish. What is a synonym for blemish? Friend, blemish is the wandering of thoughts in evil demerit. The demerit is the akusal, evil, unwholesome. This translation is not really very good over there. Merit and demerit is normally used in the sense of ping pong in that one, right? It is not that one. It is this, the Pali word is papakanam koeta avuso akusalanam icchavacharanam adivacanam. Akusalanam. Akusala is the unskilled state of the mind, like lust, anger and all those things. They are unskilled. So he has got wishes for these things. So those are unskilled wishes, are this blemish, synonym for blemish. And later on you can see, it's set out the conditions, what sort of things are there. So, and then it may happen that, so Venerable Sariputta is now explaining what it means by blemish in a way, is how the blemish would occur. It may happen that such a desire would arise to a bhikkhu, I have fallen to an offense. May the bhikkhus not know about this. The bhikkhu knows, bhikkhus know that this bhikkhu has fallen to an offense. So this bhikkhu become angry and averse. Both anger and averse are blemishes. That's kupito. The kupita in Sinhala, kupito, here Pali. So that the aversion is that he has having a feeling of opposition, distaste for that what other people are saying. So what sort of examples we do have? Actually, Venerable Sariputta, Venerable Moggallana has given those examples at the end. So one is that the not knowing the right amount to eat. Let's say a monk eat quite a lot, full of belly and then sleep and sort of thing. So, those days, especially, not these days, those days when the arahants are there, and such a behavior is, then they are not tolerating that one. They put effort and do these things because because life is for completely striving and getting rid of these defilements in becoming an arahant. And I read somewhere that those, in Buddha's time, Even if someone is actually stopping as a never returner, that person is not good either. You've got to go to Arahant level. So it's up to that level. So you can see someone is actually having a full of food in the stomach and sleeping and sort of thing is not worth in that time. So the other people will see, other bhikkhus know about it, and then so this person become angry. Now you need to analyze this one thoroughly. This is really a practical case. We have all the cases over here, about 19 cases here. They are really practical. So what's happening over here? So that's one example, is that eating quite a lot. Then the loose talk is another. And then the third one is something like, these are certain things I pick up. The faculty unrestrained. You know, having seen a form, one grasp for the, go for the gratification of that object. And see these beautiful people, and there were even times where the monks were there was a couple, a husband and wife. Wife is so beautiful, and they told this the husband, telling him that you know, if you die, you will be. They are giving the alms to these people, to monks, and if you die, you can go and be born in a heavenly world. So he's persuading that person to die because they want that wife, for that that person's wife. Monks, right? So, so you can see the faculty restraint, not restraining the faculties. Now, if you have this not restraining faculty, what would happen? We get the contact. Now, imagine this particular person who wanted to have something, got a desire. So, he is holding to these desires, whatever the desires he got. Whether it is filling up the stomach and sleeping, you know, when you sleep, there is this something called middha sukham, that you get some sort of happiness because of the bed, you know, the way you sleep. That is sensual desires about the other people. Now, they are holding to that one. We keep it in mind that they are holding to something. So, they are making volitional formations, sanskara, regarding that object.
That means your mind is not settled.
Not settled. Completely settled on that object. Yeah. Right? Now, having kept that one in mind, now you can see, now there's a contact occurring. Because of contact, there is this perversion. But the perversion that is coming out of the contact is that there is pleasure in the painful. The other way around, they think that this particular beautiful person, for example, you can see that it's not thinking that it's suffering nature, thinking that this is a pleasurable thing. So because of that one, there is this virtue and duty clinging. There is virtue and duty clinging in the sense that that person at that time would like to live such a life or better life than that. And for that, he would like to, you know, do certain things that even the virtue and all those things also can come.
Yeah, that's for somebody expecting a good, quality of life, isn't it? Because otherwise,
yes.
People, when they do think it's not virtuous things, and then that leads towards the hell, isn't it?
Yes, but let's say that a person, right, who would like to be born in divine realm. Why he wants to be born in divine realm? Because he has perceived some senses over here, and then he knows that if I actually practice this certain way, that I can be born in then such a thing. I mean, if he might have heard a couple of sentences about, you know, that if I do this sort of thing, if I preach these people something, dhamma, for example, although I have these bad qualities, then I will born over there. So there's virtue and deed clinging, and it's a main thing over there itself. How much one would be clinging, one would not know. Because of that one, there is a bond of existence. Now he want to be born in such and such a world, and he is happy now. He want to be happy in the future. He's holding. And now what happened in this case? That he was actually holding to whatever sensual desires, things that he wanted to have. And then the other monks knows about it, and now they actually blame. When they actually say this is, you have fallen to an offense and sort of thing. So he get the bodhicitta of ill will, anger. Why is anger? There's a fine line over here. Why is he getting angry? What is he trying to do? He was trying to focus on that sensual desire object. He want to maintain it. He want his consciousness to be focused on that object. I want to maintain it. When the other people talk about it, that the verbal formations from others, now his mind is going to that verbal formations of the others. His mind no longer can hold into that object of sensual desire he want to hold because of this thing, this blame and all those things, right? Do you see the sanskara, the volitional formations? It's a two packets, two parcels coming here. One parcel that he generated from that one, on his own by seeing. The other, the stream would be a better wording over here, because consciousness is now flows as stream for the sensual desire object. Now he can't maintain that one because of the other stream that is coming from other people's verbal formations. Now his mind is going with that. So he's become empty. You see, this is the point actually happening, why we are getting age also explained in the same way. Because we can't hold into the object we desire to your body, the nourish from these, all those things from mother, father, and the food and things. You cannot hold into that one because you are now preoccupied with other things. So therefore, the consciousness should be there for your body and everything to, maintain. If you remember Mahanidana Sutta, the Buddha saying that the consciousness, if consciousness become established in mother's womb, and if departs from that one, then there won't be any birth or anything. So consciousness is really important to hold into that thing. So that is what they are trying to do. Now, can't hold into that because of this noise from the other people. They are actually telling these things. And even for a boy who is playing a game or something, if mother or father, ask them to come out of that one, angry. Why angry? I want to hold into that one. Right? I want to maintain in this one. And then others are disturbing me in my... What are the things that are fighting here is just a volitional formations.
Yeah, then you get the volitional formation from both in that case. So
one I like, one I don't like.
Which one would at the end, because then you get the consequences from both, isn't it? And
yes.
You try to do that one, you get the that's existence and this is existence too, isn't it? Anger, because of anger also you get an existence. And that the other part you attach something, that's you get existence too.
Yes, so the one that attach to and one does not attach to is that, the anger part, is that that's why we have this lousy nature of in our mind sort of things, and we are angry and so on, those sort of thing, because we used to that one, we like it, or we maintain it. Without, that we couldn't help it. We went with that one. And so, therefore we accepted that scenario. So our mind is also playing up the same thing again.
So it's going back to that attachment part again.
Attachment part, I'm trying to go into the attachment part, and I'm getting to the anger part as well. So whatever thing we accepted, it is the one that is playing back, like the tape. So, rather than thinking about the existence here, It would be really easy for someone to think about the consciousness. What is happening to the consciousness? So the first consciousness that one is holding to that particular object, he keep on revolving about the sensual desire. He's happy about that one, right? So he wants to maintain it, but he can't maintain it because of this loud noise from the others saying, don't do it, it's bad for you, and sort of thing, right? So now his consciousness is now actually changing.
But still your consciousness is there, that's why you get angry.
Yeah, you are actually switching now between the two. First I go to the object, that's what I want to do, but now I am getting out of the object and I am looking at something else because of these people, you know, tell me don't do it. So I want to go back, so I go back and then I come back over here because others. So he's repeating. The Buddha said it's like a steep descent. This anger state is like a steep descent. You are very quickly arrive at this thing because that I want it. I don't want this, I want that. I don't want this, I want that. So it's repeating. So that in each case, one would have to think in that way. That there is a desirable object and one would be getting angry because there is this, you know, this undesirable for me, other people's, other people's wording, statements and all those things happening in the society as well. It may happen that such a desire would arise to a bhikkhu, I have fallen to this offense. May the bhikkhus advise me in secrecy, not in the midst of the community. It happens that the bhikkhus is advised in the midst of the community. For advising in the midst of the community, this bhikkhu become angry and nervous. Both anger and nervous, shanam, blemishes. I mean, these things happen to us as well, right? We, even when we are small, you know, that thing, we would like if the other parents, nobody knows about it. If you can remember your small age, yeah. We would like if somebody is actually telling me not in the front of your brothers and sisters. Yes, that's right. So, since they are telling in front of the sisters and brothers, then they get angry, right? You could have told me in private. That's what the mind is telling. It may happen that such a desire would arise to a bhikkhu. I have fallen to this offense. May a bhikkhu, not the teacher, advise me. A friend, you know, that is not that much. If a teacher knows, it's a big thing. And it happens that the bhikkhu is advised by the teacher. For being advised by the teacher, this bhikkhu becomes angry and nervous. Both anger and aversion are blemishes. It's happening in the schools, right? That,
what's the aversion?
Aversion is actually having a feeling of opposition. Yeah, it's a distaste. It may happen that such a desire would arise to a bhikkhu, oh me, the teacher asks question from me and proceed to treat the bhikkhus. Now look at this one, these are good ones. He has got the good, even about the Dhamma itself. And even this stinginess, machirya is the one that is playing up over here. It may happen that desire would arise to a bhikkhu, oh me, the teacher asks question from me and proceed to treat the bhikkhus. It happens that the teacher asks question from another bhikkhu and proceeds to preach the bhikkhus. You know, sometimes Buddha is asking from Venerable Ananda or someone, you know, this question, and they proceed. So inside, within the crowd, that this person wants to be the, you know, the teacher respect me, that's why teacher is asking. Even the school is happening in class. It happens that teacher asks question from another bhikkhu and proceeds to preach bhikkhus. Because the teacher has asked question from another bhikkhu, before proceeding to preach the bhikkhus, this bhikkhu becomes an angry and nervous. Both anger and aversion are blemishes. It may happen that such a desire would arise to a bhikkhu. May I lead the bhikkhus when going the arms round in the village? It happens that another bhikkhu leads the bhikkhus going the arms round in the village. Because another bhikkhu leads the bhikkhus when going the arms round in the village, this bhikkhu becomes angry and nervous. Both anger and aversion are blemishes. So here, that the when they go on arms round, the most senior monk is the one should go in first. Now this person wants to go first. So he's not going to get that one, he's angry. It may happen that such a desire would arise to a bhikkhu. may I be the gain of the most prominent seat, the first pool of water, the first morsel food in the refectory. It happens that another bhikkhu becomes the gain of the most prominent seat, the first pool of the water and the first morsel of food in the refectory. Because another bhikkhu becomes the gain of these things, that this bhikkhu become angry and averse. Both anger and aversion are blemishes. It may happen that such a desire would arise to a bhikkhu. May I be the bhikkhus to give the thanksgiving at the end of the meal. But it doesn't happen. You know that the after the almsgiving that somebody preach Dhamma. And he wants to have that one, but he's not getting that one. Somebody else is, maybe he has already prepared and he's going there, but oh, I did get that chance. So again, he's become angry. It may happen that such a desire would arise to a bhikkhu. May I preach the bhikkhus that come to the monastery? It happens that another bhikkhus preach the bhikkhus that come to the monastery. Because another bhikkhu preaches the bhikkhus that come to the monastery, this bhikkhu become angry and nervous. Both anger and aversion are blemishes. Again, he wants to teach others. He got to be the person to teach. Now, somebody else is teaching. So this, you can see, this is the desire for Dhamma itself. You know, and remember that the stinginess about Dhamma, Dhamma Machiri. Out of this machiriya, has got five parts, stinginess, so Dhamma is one thing. And it may happen that such a desire would arise to a bhikkhu, may I preach the bhikkhunis that come to the monastery? It may happen that another bhikkhu preaches the bhikkhunis that come to the monastery. Because another bhikkhu preaches the bhikkhunis that come to the monastery, this bhikkhu become angry and nervous. Both anger and aversion are the blemishes. It may happen that such a desire would arise to a bhikkhu, may I preach to the male lay disciples that come to the monastery? It happens that another bhikkhu preaches to the male lay disciples that come to the monastery. Because another bhikkhu preaches the lay disciples, male, that comes to the monastery, this bhikkhu is angry and nervous. Both anger and aversion are blemishes. I mean, you can see these things are happening even in temples, what a lot, even today. And not to mention in Buddha's time. It may happen that such a desire, I mean, some people have even given poison to the other monk to get rid of him so that he can teach. If the crowd get attracted to someone, probably you might remember these examples. It may happen that such a desire would arise to a bhikkhu, may I preach to the female lay disciples that come to the monastery. It happens that another bhikkhu preaches to the female disciples that come to the monastery. Because another bhikkhu preach the lay disciple female that come to the monastery, this bhikkhu is angry and averse. Both anger and aversion are blemishes. It may happen that such a desire would arise to a bhikkhu, may the bhikkhu honor, revere and venerate me. It happens that the bhikkhus honor, revere and venerate some others bhikkhus. Because some other bhikkhus is honored, revered and venerated, this bhikkhu is angry and nervous. Both anger and aversion are blemishes. So you can see that he is now jealous because that they don't respect me, they don't give me arms, you know, things like that. It may happen that such a desire would arise to a bhikkhu, may the bhikkhunis honor, revere and venerate me. It happens that the bhikkhunis honor, revere and venerate some other bhikkhus. Because the bhikkhunis honor, revere and venerate some other bhikkhus, this bhikkhu is angry and avarice. Both anger and aversion are blemishes. See this, Venerable Sariputta is keep on telling that anger and aversion. Anger and aversion are the blemishes. Because they are, rather than saying this is this the anger itself, these are generated from some sort of a desire. So you can see, you start with lust and you end up with anger. So this is keep on happening to us. This is a really big thing. That's why our minds are sort of really upset most of the time. Because this is what we get most of the time. Having done certain things, you know, having such desires. This is what, if you think how much you can be a meditator. And you can see there's this anger coming up. If you are sensitive to your mind, you know where you are, you know what is you holding your mind, then you can see that, well, I'm angry. Most of the time, am I having sensual desires and those things, or am I angry most of the time? Think about it. It's most of the time you can see, most of the time you are not eating, right? Most of the time you are not sleeping. So you are not having sensual desires most of the time. Most of the time you are angry. That's what it is. It may happen that such a desire would arise to a bhikkhu. May the lay disciples, male, honor, revere and venerate me. So the lay disciples, they honor some other bhikkhu and then he can become angry. And then he want the female disciple to honor and revere, but somebody else is getting this one and again becoming angry. It may happen that such a desire would arise to a bhikkhu. May I be the gain of excellent robes? It happens that another bhikkhu is the gain of excellent robes. Because the gain of excellent robes is another bhikkhu. This bhikkhu is angry and avarice. Both anger and aversion are blemishes. I mean, the bhikkhus are clinging to robes. The dwelling, that is this, you know, the temples sort of thing. Arms, you know, they are the biggest one. Because they have given up the other ones. These things become, because the nature of the mind, it get hold of whatever thing, you know, allowed or
because the feeling of that self thing, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Because you want to be recognized.
Well, not only you won't be recognized, our mind wanted to hold into something all the time. So, if you have given up all the other things, so what is left, you've got the robe material and the arms, you know, food that you are getting and the place that they are living. Right? So, those things become the biggest ones and get hold of that one. Sorry? Well, that is the end of that one, is that result, that if you are not getting what you want. It is part of that one, yes. But it could be that, you know, that the, so other person is getting it. That's also create the scenario. So that means that this thing is that, could be that, that person who is getting it. If the other person is your best friend or something like that, you would tolerate it, right? But if it is somebody that you don't like, so because of that one, it's also coming up. It may happen that such a desire would arise to a bhikkhu. May I be the gainer of excellent dwellings? It happened that another bhikkhu is the gainer of excellent dwellings. I mean, there are so many fights in Sri Lanka himself about this thing. They even go to the court. Court cases are there. Because the gainer of excellent dwelling is another bhikkhu, this bhikkhu is angry and nervous. Both anger and aversion are blemishes.
So the monks go to courts?
Yes. In Kurunayagaladaya is this one land given by, I think, a king or something. They have 30,000 acres or something. So their monks are divided and they, you know, they go to court for this one. Because 30,000 acres, you see, is it's not a thing. And I know that there's a prominent monk in Sri Lanka and they also had the same issue, fighting for the land and court case, so many court cases.
I think in Sri Lanka, there is a special law provision for dealing with the dispute with someone.
Yes, that's actually, there is a law from the Sangha itself. But if they can't solve from that one, then they go into this local court, the normal court proceedings, yeah. So, yeah. It may happen that such a desire would arise to a bhikkhu. May I be a gain of excellent requisites when ill? So he want to get the medicine, things like that. It happens that another bhikkhu is the gainer of excellent requisites when ill. Because the gainer of excellent requisites when ill is some other bhikkhu, this bhikkhu is angry and averse. Both anger and aversion are blemishes. Friend, the wandering of thoughts in evil demerits is the meaning of blemish. So that's how Venerable Sariputta explained what it means by blemish. making 19 statements, right? Friend to whatever bhikkhu, this wandering of thoughts in evil demerit is seen, that this means unwholesome wishes, and heard to be present, whoever he may be, a forest dweller, a leaves hut dweller, a partaker of morsel food going in due order, a wearer of rough, ragged robes, his co-associate in the holy life do not honor, revere, and venerate him. What is the reason? Because the wandering of thoughts in evil demerits are seen and heard to be not dispelled in him. So these things are there with him. Just as a bronze bowl, pure and clean, brought from a shop or a smithy, its owner would fill up with the dead body of a serpent, a dog, or a human covering it up with another bowl, would carry it to the fair. So he got a bronze bowl, pure one. He put this human's remains or things like that into that one, or maybe a serpent, dead dog or something, and he's taking this one to the fair. And then people seeing it would say, "Friend, what is it you are carrying? It seems to be something delicious." Then they would stop him, open it and peep inside. At the sight of it, disgust and running away from it gets established. Those hungry lose their appetite. Not to mention those not hungry. Because of this disgusting thing inside that one, that hungry person will lose his appetite. And not to mention those not hungry. If you are not hungry, you won't have that one. So you can see it is like if the bhikkhu is behaving bad, right? Even lay disciple or somebody actually seeing them, they don't even feel like going forth because these people are behaving this way. Why would I? That sort of thing, right? And friend, in the same manner, to whatever bhikkhus these wandering of thoughts in evil demerit are seen and heard to be present, whoever he may be, a forest dweller or wherever he is, whatever way, it doesn't matter whether he is wearing rag robes or not. His co-associate in the holy life do not honor, revere and venerate him. What is the reason? Because the wandering of thoughts in evil demerits are seen and heard to be not dispelled in him. And then the good case, friend.
Now, when you were talking about discussing about 19 or 20 cases were there, are they exclusive or is it an example of three?
They are exclusive.
Yeah,
they are exclusive. There was anything that is, mutually exclusive. Friend?
Again, these are same like that because it's the atmosphere they are in is a good atmosphere, that's one. Otherwise, if it is something like a with a lay people, it's a different scenario.
Oh, well, we have more.
That's
why I was, because when I was reading them, we can create all these people in my life, or anybody else's life, and I was wondering now why there are more than that we have. And I was thinking, is exclusive or is
it is? It is exclusive because that take cases by cases. But you can see the similarity: the female and male, for example. You know, the people are coming, female and male. If you say that they are actually persons, then you can say they are not exclusive. But you would have this desire to preach male, preach female. So that's two different.
Yeah. And if it is the atmosphere that's a bad one, there is no way somebody will raise this up because everything is going to, you know, when somebody is like, if it is the atmosphere, not a dharma related thing, for a lay life, if somebody is doing bad things sometimes, if there is a gang, so they will go with the those bad things, isn't it?
Yeah.
There is nobody there to raise the issue up and then compare with something else.
That's right. No corrections.
Yeah.
No corrections. I mean, these corrections are all occurring out of compassion.
Yeah, that's
not
right.
To harm that person. But in the lay life, they see that this person is doing that one, let him do that one, why would I upset him, and then I lose my, you know, whatever thing he is giving me, that's the thing.
Yeah, right? And again, if you apply this something similar into an environment for a department or something like that, if an organization has a lot of corruption, that everybody is involved in the corruption, there is no way it is fair, because yeah. it's the norm, isn't it, in that environment.
Yeah. Friend, to whatever, because these wandering of thoughts in evil demons are seen and heard to be dispelled, whoever he may be, a dweller in the outskirts of the village, an invitee, a wearer of robes offered by householders, his co-associates in his holy life, honor, revere and venerate him. So you can see the previous case, he may be wearing red robes, maybe in a forest, you know, the hard life, but see what this bad qualities people don't respect. But these people are wearing, you know, the good, you know, the offered by the lay disciple or whatever. But still, right, is that he has got these good qualities, then they respect. What is the reason? Because the wandering of thoughts in the evil demerits are seen and heard to be dispelled in him. He hasn't got that one. Just as a bronze bowl, pure and clean, bought from a shop or a smithy, its owner would fill up with crooked, cooked fine rice, dark seed picked with various soups and curries, covering it up with another bowl. I would carry it to the fair. People seeing it would say, "Friend, what is it you are carrying? It seems to be something delicious." Then they would stop him and open it and peep inside. At the sight of the agreeability and a desire to eat gets established. Because when you see, you know, smell is good and all those things are good. Even those not hungry desire to eat. Even if you don't feel hungry, you feel it's happening, isn't it? And what to speak of those hungry? And you can see when someone is actually behaving like that one, the lay people, for example, would feel like going forth as well. Remember the Venerable Sariputta, then when he actually looked at the Venerable Assaji, I think the Assaji, he saw that this complexion and everything and the way behavior, everything is really good. And straight away went forth. And looking at those characters, friend, in the same manner, to whatever because this wandering of thoughts in evil demerits are seen and heard to be dispelled, whoever he may be, a dweller in the outskirts of the village, an invitee, aware of hope supported by a householder, his co-associates in the holy life honor, revere and venerate him. What is the reason? Because of the wandering of thoughts in evil demerits are seen and heard to be dispelled in him. No, it's not there with him. He's not getting angry. If a bhikkhu is getting angry, for example, people don't like that bhikkhu. When this was said, Venerable Moggala said, "Friend Sariputta, a comparison occurs to me. A parable." Friend said, "Friend, at one time I was living in the mountains of Rajagam. Then one morning, wearing robes and taking bowl and robes, I entered Rajagam. At the time, Samiti, the chariot maker's son, was bending in the circumference of a wheel for an ascetic, the son of Pandu, the earlier chariot maker. Then it occurred to the ascetic, 'Oh, if Samiti's son correct these crookedness, slants and folds and makes the wheel perfect.'" So this wheel is, you know, bent and crooked. They want to make it correct. Well, this person is now, there are two persons, one is actually doing this one, the other person actually observing, and Sariputta is going on the arms round, right? So how do Sariputta knows? He can read the mind of both persons, right? He read the minds of both persons that he is actually doing this one. So this person, that ascetic, was a chariot maker before. He knows how to do this one himself, right? But he is now ascetic, he is not doing those things. Now he is thinking, let him do that part, this part, you know, that one. So he actually now observing this person is doing exactly the way he is thinking. So he is thinking as if he was so pleased. He was saying that this person is doing as if he knows heart from the heart. And Venerable Rarga Uttara, while going from the arms round, read the mind of these both of these persons.
So they both are capable of doing that, that means, isn't it?
No, the other person, no. The Venerable Moggallana, who's capable of looking at the mind of that one. The other one happens to be the case that this person is clever in doing this thing, right? The other person is watching that, but he is thinking. He knows how to do that one. He thinks, let him do that part. You know, the other person, because other person knows the techniques, he is actually applying techniques. In the same way, maybe if you have a big bend, you have to do the big bend first or something like that. So this person, then the ascetic expressed words of pleasure and said it is like he knew the heart with the heart. Friend Sariputta, in the same manner, those making a livelihood without faith, crafty, Hippocrates, trained deceivers, unsteady, wavering with loose talk, mental faculties not restrained. We have to look at those examples. Not knowing the right amount to partake, right? Not yoked to wakefulness, and not desires to the reclusive. Not honoring their training, living in abundance. This living in abundance is that they are living with the many robes, many things. Like that one, in some people collect and live like that. And some monks these days collect money. And lethargy, unyoked from seclusion, without effort, not mindful and aware, not concentrated. Those lacking in wisdom, deaf and dumb, hearing this discourse should know the heart with the heart and makes repairs. So Venerable Sariputta is telling, do these things, right? So these are the crookedness, like that the crookedness in that wheel. These are the things that one should be getting rid of. As for those sons of clansmen, gone forth out of faith, not crafty, not Hippocrates, not trained deceivers, steady, without loose talk, mental faculties restrained, yoked to wakefulness, desires of the reclusive, honoring the training, not living in abundance and lethargy, yoked to seclusion with effort, mindful and aware, concentrated and wise. They hear in this course of the Venerable Sariputta, I think, should devote the word and thought of it. Good if the co-associate in the whole life raised themselves from demerit and got established in merits. So that's mean the skill state. Those two great men delighted in each other's words.
Don't people do
these things because they have practiced it in past years? It is very hard to break this. Exactly. For us, for monks, for everybody, you see why we get the angry. We get angry because we have fallen into the part of killing, for example. Harming others, killing, right? Panatipata, we have done it for a long time. When you do those killing and things like that, you see that the Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadam Samadhyami. That's what you say, right? So, what we have been doing, the opposite of that one, Panatipata Samadhyami. The killing is the one that we have accepted and, used for a long, long time. Because of that one, the anger is there. Because we created the volitional formation, a stream of consciousness using that sort of volitional formations. It's there with us. We train our mind in that way. Since we have trained it for a long, long time, whenever this sort of thing coming up, if someone blamed me, I would feel like blaming him. If someone hit me, that thought is coming. So, why? Because we have done that.
And again, when somebody prays somewhere else, and what you feel is that even though you like it or not, you feel that, why can't I?
Jealousy and sort of thing. Yeah. So Buddha, for example, would not, if someone blame him, he does not accept it. Because he has not, the samadhyami is not there. Panatipata, that killing and all those things, He has not done. He got rid of them. Therefore, since he is no longer using them, and when these thoughts, if somebody is blaming, shouting at you, he hasn't done anything. Basically, he hasn't done anything. He has sent some sort of a signal to the ear, right? We are the one processing it. Why can we accept that one? Because I have done it to others. So it's my consciousness is happy to accept that one. But if you are not doing it, if you have given up that one, you are not making any new volitional formations regarding that thing. The unnecessary packet, parcel that's coming in your way.
It is like somebody is blaming us in different language we don't understand.
You don't care. That's right. Yeah. No, we are not trying to process that.
Because that vocabulary is not in our mind.
Oh, mine, yes.
So
that's okay.
Vocabulary means that that consciousness is not there established in our mind.
Yeah.
And in that, because of that, we don't care what it is.
Yes, yes, yes.
Can you explain the last week that you know how much to buy, how much to...
If you are eating, you should be eating, just to maintain your body, not for the enjoyment, not for the beautification. So one has to maintain. Buddha said that if you eat, you drink water, when there is space for four food bites, until you leave those four and you drink water, so that's the amount you should be eating, just to maintain the body. So monk should be eating like that. If you eat more than that, then you get this lethargy, you don't feel like, for example, the person normally, since the food is tasty, at that time he would eat more, right? If the food is not tasty, then he would do what Buddha said. Because I don't want to have this on, he would stop it. And so Buddha wants, whether it's a nourishing food or whatever thing it is, that's that amount that you would be eating to maintain this body. And so with the food also, if you eat more, there are so many other things coming up, they associated with it. And in the controlling faculties, so you would see certain things, unnecessary things. And so not yoked to wakefulness means that he's not he doesn't want to get out of this thing. He's he would be happy to eat quite a lot, sleep quite a lot, and making any effort to get rid of these desires and things like that. And it's not only the training, it's another one. Training, the teaching. That
if you can read it in Sinhala, there are 22 points you have to look at. I can say, because in English probably it would be similar language, similar, because we understand it. For example, the first one is hierarchic rule, and Maya right rule, like that. And so it's really, really, if you read that part, it's really affecting to your life.
You can understand easily.
And it's really good done.
The last bit I didn't read.
Yeah, that is what I'm saying. Reading similar, and you will get the real clear.
Understand, yeah.
Really.
And again, because all these problems are, you try to please yourself, isn't it? That's why you get the trouble.
That's right. And this is good for anyone, that you can see out of these discussions, you can see so many discussions, and it's really good to apply into the life, and this is really good for arriving at higher concentrations. This is how you maintain higher concentrations as well. If you do have these things popping up in your higher concentration, let's say with first jhana, second jhana sort of thing, if these things are popping up, then you can't maintain it. If you don't have these things, if you have ability, or this is some sort of angana, this is a blemish, this is the blemish because this is coming up because I like that, that's why this is coming up. Particularly in regard to Dhamma, teaching itself. And you see, if you have two Dhamma paths, one you like most, but you want to analyze this part, right? Then you can get the blemish as well in a certain way. So you can see the Venerable Sariputta has given examples from the bad ones as well as the good ones. He wants to teach monks, you know, the other monks. So that one himself, wouldn't he be better for him to actually go and do the meditation? Think about it, you know, that other than meditating, he wants to go and preach them. So it's applying in a higher level of concentration, this comes up. That's why I search for these things, because I got some sort of a leading to this one. And it's really good for higher concentration. If you try to maintain these things, what you need to do, I'm sure you can't get rid of these things at once, right? It takes ages to do that one. But if you are aware of these conditions, these states, how it can arise in me, and whenever it's lousy in your mind, you know, they get the anger and sort of thing, not balancing sort of thing, then see whether, am I clinging to something and, you know, I'm getting anger because of that. Then you can sort of see. Always there is this desire to have something. It could be Dhamma. It could be anything else. I mean, the workplaces you can see, you have thousands of examples.
And too much commitments to unnecessary things.
That's right. Yeah, that one is another one. Yes. So, because of that, we can't maintain the concentration. So this helps maintain the concentration. Is arriving concentration also? You know, that's because that if you have the anger, it's not easy for you to arrive at the concentration, right? If you check the blemishes, do I have these things? Well, I don't have. At that particular time, you might have had before, but not at that time. Well, it's good then. And it's like a person who is going in front of a mirror. There are other examples where somebody actually go in front of a mirror, a young girl or a person, and go and see whether there is this, you know, the kurula type thing, you know, in the face. And if there is no such a thing, then that person would be happy. If there is such a thing, they would quickly remove it. So it's angana is like that, blemishes are like that. If it is there, you get rid of it quickly, right? If it is not there, you will be not really happy. So they are the connected places to these discourse.
Yeah. Wondering why in this one, like this was only concerned about the anger and aversion, because
no. Lobha is there. Why he is getting anger? In each example, that's what I was telling, you need to concentrate. There was a desire, there was lust. This one completely focusing on the lust and the anger. Because of this lust, I get the anger. So both are handled here, lust and anger. That's what I was actually getting, that example where if you have the contact, then you get this perversion. Because of the perversion, you get the virtue and duty clinging. Because of the virtue and duty clinging, then the bond of existence. From the bond of existence, this ill will thoughts, anger, those arises. That is the second path in the nutriment. This we have, all of them here are the... There are four edible food, and the contact as nutriment, and the volition, mental volition, and the consciousness. This is the second part of why you are in the second part most of the time. That's what is explained here.
But it's coming naturally. First part, first.
Yes. First, with the first part we have done before. He has fallen to some sort of offense because he has done it before, right? And now he is in the second part. Whoever actually go in the first part will fall into the second part. No matter what, because the impermanent nature, that the consciousness cannot be maintained in that way, so one would go into the second path. So you can see most of the time we are here, this second path. I think I probably will stop for today.